only one that is worthy, Lord. You are the only one that we want to give our lives to. We want to surrender this morning to your call, Lord. We want to surrender our lives and everything of us to you this morning. Lord, we give you our everything, Lord. We give you our everything. Lord, we want to run for you, Lord. We want to run this race, Lord, and we will endure till the end. We will endure till the end. Lord, thank you that every weak and feeble knee that you will strengthen it this morning, Lord, in your presence. In your presence, Lord. Thank you that you've started speaking to people in this place, and I believe you will continue, Lord. We want to open our hearts to you this morning and say, Lord, we want to receive from you. We want to receive that daily bread, Lord. You said we must ask for it, Lord. And this morning we want to ask for our daily bread, Lord. We want to ask for our portion this morning. Thank you that we can be in your presence. We can dwell there, Lord. We are sons and daughters, rightful heirs to your presence, Lord. And we want to be there in your presence unashamed, Lord, without spot, blameless before you, Lord. Thank you just that you cleanse us and purify us this morning, Holy Spirit. You'll come like that consuming fire. Just purify our hearts this morning. Purify our spirits. Burn away, Lord, everything that's not from you, Lord. Every lie in our head, Lord. Every preconceived idea, Lord. We ask that you will burn it away. Burn it away, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yella. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was amazing. JP, thank you for your guitar. I'm going to give over to Amunay. Let us give her a hand this morning.
Good morning. The Lord's presence is truly amazing. I'm very emotional right now, but I'm going to be okay just in a few seconds. Okay, my name is Amunay Burger, like a burger you eat. That's my surname. My husband gave me that surname. and I'm not a pastor at the church in Paul. I'm a pastor at heart, the fivefold ministry. Hilly is an evangelist, so sometimes we clash a little bit. He just wants people to get saved, me too, but I want to walk a road with them. But yeah, thank you God that we are all different. Okay. You can hoy, I say. All right, I'm going to talk to you today. Listen here, my English is actually very good. I struggle a lot with English. Yeah, so I'm very amazed now. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about the great reward. The man who is in the front there, his name is Eric Liddell. And before we start, I just want to read you something about his life. Okay, so listen. Flying Scott refuses to run on a Sunday. I got this from the website History Makers. Most of us only think about Eric Liddell as the man who wouldn't run on Sunday, about whom, about the Oscar winner movie Chariots of Fire was made. He was known as the Flying Scotsman and was the first of his country to win gold during the 1924 Paris Olympics. Committed Christian Eric Liddell refused to race on Sunday and was forced to withdraw from the 100 meters. His best event. Instead, Liddell raced the 400 meters and little was expected of him. As Liddell went to the starting blocks of the race, an American slipped a piece of paper in his hand with a quotation from 1 Samuel 2 verse 50. Those who honor me, I will honor. Americans, they are good people. Liddell ran with that piece of paper in his hand, and not only won the race, but broke the existing world record with a time of 47.6 seconds. Liddell achieved a great prize than Liddell achieved a greater prize than Olympic gold later in his life. After Olympics, Liddell returned to China to work as a missionary. He married in 1934, and in 1936, China prepared for war as communist and nationalist tensions increased. Liddell was asked by the London Missionary Society to give up his work in Tientsin and work as a village evangelist in Shushanji. The mission team just dared me to say that. Okay, so it's so Xiu Shang or something like that. I can't pronounce it. All right. This was a very dangerous area. Liddell could not take his wife and two daughters with him and was forced to leave them behind when he went to work there. He was able to visit on occasion, but it was a long journey. Visits were not frequent. His job in the area was evangelism and to encourage the Christian already there. The work was dangerous. Traveling in the countryside with communist and nationalist forces equally hostile to missionary work put Liddell's in harm's way on a regular basis. The Japanese invaded China in the 1940s, and Liddell told his wife to take the children to Canada where she could live with her parents. He stayed behind in Tientsin to continue his work. He worked tirelessly, doing just about anything that needed to be done, whether it was Bible study, teaching children who were trying to keep up their studies, or organizing sports. In a prisoner exchange bargain, his freedom was arranged by Winston Churchill, but he gave it up and let a pregnant woman leave instead. In 1944, Liddell was not well. The doctors did not have the resources to diagnose the real nature of the problem. On February 21st, 1945, he began coughing uncontrollably, and as friends came to his aid, he laid back and uttered the words, "It is surrender." An autopsy later revealed that Liddell had a large tumor on the left side of his brain. He never died. He died never having seen his third child, Orrin Liddell. This man was truly committed to the cause of Christ. He had the opportunity to leave. He had the opportunity to leave China, but choose to stay. He poured his life into the work of reaching the lost in China. He worked for a prize far greater than gold, even Olympic gold. While I was preparing for this service, this is the first time I'm preaching. I just asked the Lord, I truly want to talk to you as a congregation about something specific. I don't want to talk about my life or anything. I truly believe that the Lord has something specific for this congregation, each and every one of you. And he just gave me the scripture in Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 4. And that when I got that scripture, I heard a song. And it is a beautiful song by Christine Miller, Homeward Bound or something. And I Googled it, and the name Eric Liddell came up. So I didn't know about anything about Eric Liddell. I didn't know what he did or what he's doing now, but he's now with the Lord. But the thing in the text I just want to highlight of this man's story is that tell us that he was truly committed to the cause of Christ. And it, when I read that piece of, not scripture, in his story, that sentence, it reminded me of a quote. I love this quote. It's from the film Gladiator. And Maximus, the gladiator, he says that what we do in life echoes in eternity. So I'm going to talk to you today about that principle. Okay, so the Lord gave me this scripture, therefore. Gilly just told me, ek moet nie my rug na julle draai nie. So, dis hoekom het so groot geskrik het. Hebrews 12 is 1 to 4. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Lord just showed me I must talk about four things today in that scripture. First of all, it's witnesses. Second, it's endurance. The third one is looking unto Jesus, being focused on Jesus. And the fourth one is the great reward. Okay, first slide. Ek kom maar aangaan. Ah, sy, dankie. Witnesses. I've read the scripture many times before, and I always thought that the word witnesses referred to angels, or like maybe it was unbelievers that looked at us or saw us running this race, and our lives testified of how we are focused on the Lord. And but it wasn't that at all. I just went and did some. I just read the Bible, and in my study Bible, it referred to the scripture in Hebrews 11, and they talk about the champions of faith. It is so beautiful, and that's the people who ran the race before us, who is known for their faith, their amazing faith in God. And I got the scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things, they declare plainly that they seek a homeland. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It is so beautiful. And I looked up the word faith, and in Greek it is pistis, which actually refers to faithfulness rather than trust. And so the faithfulness is like, I just looked it up in a dictionary, and the following definition I got, to follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. And I just thought, and also my study Bible is that like it's more of active obedience rather than trust. But active obedience and trust, it goes hand in hand. If you are obedient to someone, you trust that he makes the right decisions for you. Yeah. The second slide, the second word in the scripture is endurance. I'm going to talk about. And the witnesses is actually there to inspire and to motivate us to run the race with endurance. They did it before us. We can do it as well. Faith was not a one-off decision for them. They made it every day of their lives. They had to go. And when they slipped, they had to stand up in the race and ran the race and endured and obeyed the Lord's voice. And I remember someone said, I don't know if it was Fred, or I think it was Fred, who said, like, the Lord, it was Sias. He said that you are just going to grow till the point of, if you are not obedient, if you are not obedient to the Lord tells you something, and you are not obedient to him, you are not going to grow. Okay, so growing in faith, actually. So today I'm standing here, and Hilly told me to stand here, but the Lord also said he's going to use me in this matter. And and I had to obey, so my faith is actually growing right now. Because I can speak in English. Okay. I just want to read this two scriptures. By faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It is so beautiful. So Jesus, the last scripture, Jesus like promises us actually that it's going to be difficult. People are going to hate us, but we must make the decision if we are for him or against him. All right. And endurance is going to determine if we are going to finish the race or not. Looking unto Jesus is the fourth one. The third one. Okay. We are not supposed to focus on the witnesses like Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all those. They are just there to inspire us, but we must focus on Jesus. The Lord just revealed, or I just felt the Lord said, like, he became man, ran the race, so we could see how to do it. It's so beautiful. And the previous sermon, I also used this example, like, when a father, or I went fishing with my dad many times now, he just taught me how to take the fishing rod, how to throw it in, how to set the bait on the hook and everything. But first he threw the line into the sea, and then I saw what he did. And later on, he learned me how to do it. And now he's like, yeah, you can do it on your own. So now I'm a fisher of men. Okay. Looking unto Jesus. We must focus and stay focused on Jesus because he ran the race. And it was so, Jesus, it was difficult for him, I think, when we read the Gospels for him on earth. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, yes. When he was in the garden, he fell to his face and he prayed that this cup may pass. But he also prayed, "Not my will be done, but your will, God." And I think we are also going to come to a certain point in life when the Lord is going to tell us something, and we are going to be very anxious. I was very anxious this morning. But actually more like hectic stuff is going to happen. And we must decide, are we going to follow through? Are we going to trust the Lord? Or are we going to just stay back? Right. Okay, I want to, you can give us the next slide. But the focus of the sermon is how do we stay focused on Jesus. It's very important. So the first one is believing that Jesus is God. It's a very everybody knows that Jesus is God. But here in John 14, verse 6 to 7, Jesus says to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And sometimes when we read the Bible and we see Jesus and what he did on earth, we think, okay, yes, he was a very good person and he's the Messiah. But we must realize that the sacrifices God made just to reveal his Father's heart to us. And the second one is abiding in Jesus. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." The word "abide" is used 10 times in that scripture. From John 15, verse 1 to 8, it's used 10 times. And abide in Greek means to stay or to dwell. It's so beautiful in the Lord's presence. Just like this morning when we were worshiping, we were not focusing on our own weaknesses. There's many. But we focused on the Lord and we focused on God and on his Christ, and his love just overwhelmed us. And David, he got it. He just got it. I love the scripture. This is my favorite scripture in the Bible. "One of the things I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The other thing I just want to highlight is the Lord says that if we are connected to him, the branch is connected, we bear fruit. And the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering, which in Latin it means pati, I think, and it refers to patience, which is endurance. So we... Dit kom nie van selfsprekend. It's not on, like, you know, naturally, yeah, we don't, we can't endure. We like, in Afrikaans sê ons gooi tou vinnig, ons gooi vinnig moed op. And so we, sometimes when we get into a difficult situation, we must realize, listen here, we must endure right now. And if you are in the Lord's presence, and if you are there, then you, then the Lord will supernaturally give you that ability to endure. And I also believe that it's like a way of testifying to others, listen here, I'm going through a very rough time. Like the song we just sang, blessed be your name, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Okay. Ek moet net gaan my notas hier reg kry. Ek preek lekker hier so by julle. Okay. Always be aware of your utter dependence upon him. Okay, this speaks actually about the fear of the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you see it, seek my face, my heart, when you're sorry. Is it hierdie een? Ja. Oh, it is daar. Sorry, seek my face. My heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. I have lost heart unless I believed that I would have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So this is also David. He got it again and again and again. And he just says that he is so dependent upon the Lord. And the other thing I just want to, talk to you about is there's no such thing as self-righteousness. I actually struggled with this one. I thought I was very self-righteous. That's not a good thing because pride comes in. Okay? And it was not that, it's not a thing the Lord just told me. Pride is not like I think I'm better than anyone. It's not at all. I don't. But I'm dependent upon myself. If you understand, like, if I have a problem, I'm going to sort it out myself. I'm not going to go to God. And that is pride. Okay. And the Lord just showed me that, and I had to repent. I was so quite angry with the church, and I just wanted to leave and everything, like 2 months ago, and now I'm standing here preaching. The Lord's humor is amazing. Yeah, and that was pride. It was actually pride that crept in. Okay, the next one, have an understanding of God's character. Our God is a very holy God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, it is impossible to have an intimate relationship with the Lord without trust or faith. Okay, like when my husband makes a decision, sometimes I think, what is he thinking about, or what is going on in his mind? But I must submit unto him because I trust him that the outcome is going to be good. Because he's a child of God, he hears the Lord, and by submission the Lord will honor us. And in every intimate relationship there must be trust and there must be faithfulness. The other scripture, take heed. This is a very awesome scripture. It means a lot to me. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he had made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And here he talks about idols of our hearts. Last year, I've been married not long, a year and 8 months, I think. And, yes, and when we got married, my relationship, my man, my husband, he's very good to me. He's a man of God. He's very beautiful. I think he's the most beautifulest man in this world. They could testify. Yes, and we've got married, and he's amazing because he knows the Lord. He loves the Lord. So I also experience the Lord's love through him. So it's very easy for me to think that he's the best and everything, and he loves it as well. But yeah, I just found so he protected me in every way, and in prayer, physically, emotionally, and I started to idolize him. And the Lord told me, he's not Ionia, he's jealous, and he doesn't want Yandrei to be the first in my life. Even though we are both, we love the Lord, we serve the Lord, sometimes too much, but yeah, we truly love the Lord, but he became, and the other thing is he started to see it, and he started to, he got like tired of always being there for me. And I repented, and when I repented, the Lord just came. His goodness leads us to repentance, and I just felt his presence again in my life. So now I'm very strong, I think, yeah, in the Lord, and my husband is also. So, but sometimes I think he's like jealous of God, because now I just go to God, but he likes it. Okay. Yeah, so be aware of idols in your heart. If you want to spend more time with something else, if it is the TV or a sport or one of your family members, it is an idol of your heart, the Lord will show you. And then you must repent. Because it, oh yeah, the other thing, an idol, we always think like an idol is something other people worship, like a Hindu Bilki statue or something. It is not like that. It is something, sometimes, that is also idols, but sometimes the Lord gives us something from his heart, from his Father's heart. And then we take that present, that blessing, and we turn it into an idol. Okay? So just be aware of that. And the other, he is holy, the Revelations 4 verse 1 to 11, it talks about the throne room of heaven. And when I read that scripture, I just like, oh Lord, I'm not worthy. And I'm not worthy. I'm not allowed actually to come into the Lord's presence. But he sent his son to die for me so I can have a living and intimate relationship with him. So it's not my right, it is a privilege. Okay. Was this amper klaar? Know your enemy. We talk a lot about the Lord and his goodness. And yeah, just his love, but we never talk about the devil. And we must be aware of him. Matthew 16 verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. The other scripture I just want to highlight is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to realize that temptations will come, always, okay? The devil will always tempt you. But usually it works like this. I'm a counselor at a high school, so yeah, I see many broken families each and every day. And divorce, it's not from the Lord, okay? And the devil will tempt you to be unfaithful, okay? To your husband or your wife. He will tempt you to be unfaithful towards him. And then the devil will also tempt you to be unfaithful towards your church. He wants to take you away from church so you can be alone, so he can just deceive you with his lies. Okay, but if you are in accountability with one another, if you are talking to one another, bring things into the light, then he doesn't have a foothold in your life. But he wants to remove you from the congregation. And I experienced that as well at the beginning of this year. Everything was going wrong this year. Now it's going right. Okay. I was at the Awaken conference. And I told my husband, listen here, we've been like 7 years now in Shofar. I don't think we must go on here. We must look for another church, okay? Pride, okay? My husband told me he didn't do anything from the Lord, so we are staying. I says, okay. Is it reg, liefie? And I went to the Awaken conference, and my mother-in-law went with me, and my mother-in-law actually said the thing, not the sermon or the message they brought at the conference, like touched the heart, but the way the people celebrated each other, that was truly amazing to her. Like people I've seen 4 years before came to me and said, "Oh, Amanay, we heard you are married and do you have children?" I say, "No." "And is your marriage great?" I say, "Yes." But I don't tell them it's difficult, because when you're not married, you think it's heaven to be married. So I just, the people truly celebrated me, and that made a big, big, big difference in my mother-in-law's heart. And she said she never felt, nobody talked to her actually, but she never felt so much love in a place. And then the Lord told me, listen here, you are a spoiled brat, because you are used to people celebrating you. And you are not... You don't appreciate what people is doing for you, and you don't appreciate their prayers, and the church is actually protecting you always. It was a confess. Then I confessed. Yeah. Actually to the pastor's wife as well, and the pastor. Yeah, so now I'm in church and now I'm preaching. Okay. Okay, and so this is the last one. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. First, I want to read you the scripture in Hebrews 5:7-9. In the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with vehement, this showing strong, passionate feeling, the sumoy, cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That is so beautiful. So the great reward is eternal salvation, and we will get that when we get to heaven someday. But now on earth, this is not our home. And we must endure till we get that reward. I just wrote here, the witnesses endured because they saw and knew at the end there's a great reward. And Jesus endured the cross because he saw and knew at the end there's a great reward. So we must do the same. We must see in the spiritual and know that there is a great reward. All right. And then I just want to read two more scriptures about the Lord's promises. John 14:2-4. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. The previous service, I talked to Mark, the worship leader, and he said, the Liddell's life just testifies of God's glory and everything. And he also said, like, he's going to have a mansion in heaven. Yeah, that's very true. Okay, 1 Peter 5:9-10. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So there is a great reward if we endure, if we obey, and if we keep our focus on the Lord. And your salvation is not a once-off decision. It's an ongoing process, abiding in Jesus. We must not have quiet time with the Lord and experience His presence. So only there He will give us the strength to run this race. And Peter describes his commitment to the cause of Christ as follows. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. Let's just pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that we experience your love this morning, Lord. That you are here in this place, God, and we are so privileged, Lord God, to be called your sons and daughters, Lord. We are not slaves anymore, Father. We have an inheritance with you, Lord God. We are a royal nation, a holy priesthood, your people, Lord God, which you have called out of slavery, Father, into your marvelous light, Lord Jesus. And Father God, some of us today, Father, we are just so tired, Lord. We can't run this race anymore, Father. Things are not going well, Jesus. But thank you, Lord God, that we know, Father, that you are the answer. Lord God, you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And in you there is eternal life, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you for that, Lord God. Father, I also pray now, Lord, that you will open the hearts, Father, of this congregation towards one another, Lord God. They will look after one another, after each other, Lord. And Father, also when we are going to pray for people now in the front, Lord God, that their hearts will be open to receive, Lord, that they will run to you, Lord God, because you are the Heavenly Father and you know exactly what they need, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great reward that awaits us, Lord God, if we endure, Lord, and focus on you, Jesus.